Let us pray. Gracious Spirit, speak to us that we might be like Thee. Amen. Today's lesson is taken from Paul's letter to the church at Colossae, Colossians chapter 4, verses 7 through 18. Hear the word of the Lord. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a beloved brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, so that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, the faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They will tell you about everything here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, concerning whom you have received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justice, greets you. These are the only ones of the circumcision among my co-workers for the kingdom of God, and they have been a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you. He is always wrestling in his prayers on your behalf, so that you may stand mature and fully assured in everything that God wills. For I testify for him that he has worked hard for you and for those in Laodicea and in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Give my greetings to the brothers and sisters in Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. And when this letter has been read among you, have it read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and see that you read also the letter from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, see that you complete the task that you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. The word of the Lord. When I realized there are 11 names in this text, I got to thinking about football, which is an 11-man sport. Well, the NFL kicks off a week from tomorrow night when the Washington Redskins meet and beat the Denver Broncos in the Pro Football Hall of Fame game in Canton, Ohio. You heard it first, right here. College football picks up later this month when USC meets and beats Virginia Tech in Landover, Maryland. Now, if you Virginians want to pelt me with tomatoes, please understand that ever since I laid out thousands of dollars to get a daughter to USC School of International Finance, the Trojans have been my team. I own at least two positions on that team. I paid for them. And this year, they will not be cheated out of a national championship by a witless computer. You heard that also for the first time right here. The 11 persons mentioned in this text are on Paul's team. When it comes to spreading the gospel, Paul may certainly be a first-string quarterback, but the others are the linemen, the wide receivers, and the running backs, without whom Paul could never score. Well, it goes without saying that football is a team effort. So when a running back demands to have the ball all the time so he can set a new rushing record, or when the linemen refuse to play at their best because they're not paid as much as the quarterback, when a coach cannot get along with his key players, then the morale suffers and that team is likely to plummet to the bottom of the standings. The church, National Presbyterian, is also a team effort, and we are susceptible to the same problems, the same potential viruses. In every congregation, for example, there are some who opt to sit on the sidelines. They want the benefits of the church. Low-cost weddings. The pastor visiting when they're in the hospital. Burial in the columbarium. They want the benefits, but not the obligations. Financial commitment. Committee work. Ministry in the community. But no church can succeed if only 20% are playing their hearts out while the other 80% are sitting on the sidelines drinking Gatorade. Now let me switch the channel to basketball for just a moment. Al McGuire coached the Marquette team to an NCAA championship in 1976. Butch Lee was a prima donna player on that team. Butch hogged the ball and wanted to take all the shots, so McGuire took him aside one day and said, "Butch, the game is 40 minutes long. And if you divide that between the two teams, it means there are 20 minutes when one team will have the ball, and there's 20 minutes when the other team will have the ball. There are five players on each side. That means each player will have the ball for about 4 minutes. Now, Butch, I know what you can do with the ball in 4 minutes. What I want you to show me is what you can do for the other 36 minutes. In other words, play team ball." When Gareth Eisnogel arrives in this church next month, I guarantee he will play team ball. He knows he cannot win all by himself. And so his game plan will be to pass the ball at every opportunity. That is, he will be intent on empowering you, as Paul empowered Tychicus and Onesimus and Aristarchus and Nympha and all the other members on his team. Gareth will not measure his ministry by the number of sermons he preaches or lessons he teaches or hospital visits he makes. He will measure his ministry instead by the number of people who show up every week for training here in this sanctuary and somewhere else in this building for a Sunday school class. Neither will he measure his ministry by the number of names on the church roster. He will measure instead by the number who are willing to get out on the field to teach Sunday school, to be an advisor for a youth group, to organize a Bible study, to feed the hungry, to care for the lonely, to tutor children, to build homes for the working poor. Like Paul speaking of Tychicus, Gareth will expect you to be faithful ministers and fellow servants in the Lord. And like every successful coach, Gareth is going to help you find just the right position to play. He is going to encourage you and assist you in identifying your gifts, in developing those gifts, so you can put those gifts to work on the field of play. Have you noticed that in some football games, a couple of players on the offensive squad will alternate from play to play? One runs off the field while the other one runs on. That's not because they're tired or injured. It's because the one who is running on the field is carrying the next play from the offensive coordinator into the quarterback. Well, with the fans screaming for a touchdown and with the play clock ticking down, it is absolutely imperative that that player will hear the next play correctly and will tell it right. That is the position Tychicus played for Paul. Paul, when he wrote this letter, was stuck on the sidelines. He was in prison. Do you remember him saying at the end of this text, "Remember my chains"? He's in prison because he's a Christian leader and he can no longer get out on the field. And so he asks Tychicus to suit up in his place, to act as his emissary to the team over in Colossae. "Tychicus will tell you all the news about me," he writes. And the Greek word for tell, "he will tell you all the news about me," has an emotional ring to it. It conveys far more than just a perfunctory recital of data. Had Paul wanted just to transmit data, he would have added another chapter to this letter. Instead, he wants to express the fear he feels in prison, the hope he fosters for release, the stress he's under because he can no longer travel among the churches. And a letter won't do it. Because words on paper are so often dull and cold and flat. What's needed, he realizes, is a voice to express his affection. Eyes to convey his emotion, hands to exhibit his feelings, a body to stand in for an absent friend. And that is Tychicus' role, to serve as Paul's proxy to people he loved over in Colossae, and not only in Colossae, but in Ephesus as well. In Ephesians 6, Paul writes, so that you may also know how I am and what I am doing. Tychicus will tell you everything. He's a dear brother and a faithful minister in the Lord. I'm sending him to you for this very purpose, to let you know how we are and to encourage your hearts. Tychicus was Paul's courier. He was his substitute in the game. He was a stand-in for Paul. He wasn't a star player. His face would never appear on the cover of Christianity Today. His resume would not have been considered among the hundreds that your pastor nominating committee looked at. But he had a gift. He had a gift for listening carefully and then conveying accurately what he heard. And so he was content to work behind the scenes, to use the simple gift God had given him. And yet that simple gift made him an indispensable partner for the great Apostle Paul. When macular degeneration destroyed Jane Wyrick's eyesight, she could have said to herself, well, that's it. Can't do anything more for the church. How can I serve the Lord? I'm functionally blind. Instead, she came to me one day and she said, Tom, I need something to do. And I said to her, Jane, you're one of the most brilliant pianists I've ever heard. And I'm a little nervous about suggesting this, but how about playing for our Sunday school and our weekday preschool? Now, that might have been a come down for a woman who had produced her own CD just a few years earlier. But she promptly volunteered and happily went to work playing such great stalwart hymns as Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. She not only brought lively music to the children of our church, she found a rewarding outlet for her gift. She couldn't see music anymore, but her fingers were still talented. And when she tickled the ivories, the piano came alive. What about you? Are you in the game? Or are you sitting on the sidelines? Oh, you may have good reasons for not suiting up, but tell me honestly, are those reasons any more debilitating than macular degeneration? My late friend Wes Dunn was another team player who worked behind the scenes, even as acute illness ravaged his body. Wes was mailing out Bible studies to men and women in prison all over the nation. They would fill out the answers to the questions and send them back, and Wes would correct them, and he'd send back the corrected copy and another Bible study so they could grow in their Christian faith. And when time and health permitted, he would send a newsletter to his friends and supporters containing excerpts from the letters he received. Here's one from a prisoner in Chino, California. I was a lost sinner doing so much wrong. I called upon the Lord with a humble spirit, asking Him to forgive me, but like Peter, I took my eyes off of Jesus and began to sink. Jesus left the porch light on, enabling me to find my way back home. I am determined in my heart to live for Him and to do the full will of God. Jesus left the porch light on. Sounds like a commercial for Motel 6, doesn't it? But in this case, it's a promise from Jesus Christ directed to you. Our Savior never gives up on you. You may be chained to a guilty conscience or shackled with physical disabilities. You may have failed so often in your Christian life that you are absolutely sure that you are now ineligible for the squad. Or like Tychicus, you may be a second or third stringer, a less than brilliant player. So what possible use could you be on Christ's team? But Jesus needs you. This church needs you. Gareth Eisnogel needs you, and Jesus left the porch light on. So isn't it time you came in out of the shadows and joined the team?